Gracious Father, we now ask that you pour your Holy Spirit upon us. Fill us to overflowing with all your fullness. That the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together will be acceptable in your sight through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, folks, last week I spoke of the words that erupted from Doubting Thomas's lips when he saw the risen Christ, exclaiming, "My Lord," and what that means in terms of a living hope for us today, to really say, to really believe, to know, "My Lord." Well, today I'm again speaking about hope, but this time in the light of faith. Faith and hope are different sides of the same coin. Both are manifestations of the same reality, God's love revealed in Jesus Christ. We only have faith because God is faithful. And we only have hope because God raised the crucified Christ from the dead. And now Christ is our hope. Now, the word hope is misused a lot today. Many people buy lottery tickets hoping they will be the lucky person, even though there's only a 1 in 292.2 million chance of winning. Despairing odds. But in the face of despairing odds, about half of Americans buy lottery tickets, spending $86, an average of $86 a month for $1,032 a year. Amazing. In the light of this, Jesus has a word for us. Seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first, and all these things will be given to you as a matter of course. So in regard to hope, I have a question for you. What has the better odds? Seeking God's kingdom or playing the lottery? It's an easy question to answer. But do we really believe the answer? The point is, biblical faith and its companion hope have concrete implications for the choices we make in our lives. It all comes down to, in what or in whom do I trust? And in what and in whom do I trust has ethical and moral implications for my life and the choices I make. And what I trust and whom I trust determines the lifestyle that I live. I sometimes claim my hope is in God when in fact it is in my wrong understanding of God. Wrong thinking about God leads to wrong choices, which can end in profound disappointment. I heard a pastor share the story of a member of his congregation who had made a deal with God. And we should know we can't make deals with God, but some people still think they can. He made a deal with God and invested a large sum of money in a particular venture with his promise to God, that he would share the profits when they came in at the church. It depended upon his promise to God, not God's promise to him. The venture failed. He lost a huge sum of money. He thought God disappointed him. Folks, what he did was no different from those who buy lottery tickets every week. And whether we strike a deal with God or not, we can still have misplaced hope, or really nothing more than wishful thinking. A greater problem comes when sometimes we benefit from wishful thinking. Somebody wins the lottery. And it confirms in our hearts that unreality is reality. And we go on living in our unreality, our wishful thinking. It is really important that we think clearly about God. For our ideas about God determine much in life. Wrong thinking about God inevitably leads to disappointment with God. This was the experience of the early disciples. They went through it too. On that first Easter Sunday, two of Jesus' disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus when he appeared to them, but they didn't recognize him. They told the stranger in their midst about the crucifixion of their teacher, thinking he was unaware of what had happened, concluding, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Jesus had sorely disappointed them. They had hoped that he was the one. But he was the one. So how is it that they were so sorely disappointed? Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples, teaching them about himself, his mission, telling them point blank that he would die and rise again. They didn't believe it. They had heard it, but they didn't believe it. Why? Because their expectations from the start were wrong. Their hope in the Messiah was nothing more than wishful thinking, just like millions who play the lottery today. The disciples simply didn't have a right understanding of the Messiah and what he would accomplish. They embraced Jewish nationalism. They expected their Messiah to throw off the yoke of Roman oppression and establish Israel as a politically free state. That was their expectation. No wonder they were disappointed when Jesus was crucified by the very people they believed he would overthrow. We had hoped he was the one. They had wrong ideas about God, which led to false hopes, which led to profound disappointment. Wrong thinking about God leads to false hope. False hope always leads to disappointment. Unless you're among the unfortunate ones who actually win the lottery. Do you understand that? They are truly the unfortunate ones. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. They were walking and talking with the crucified and risen Christ, and they still did not recognize him. Doesn't that make you scratch your head? What's going on here? How is it possible? Their false hope blinded them to the reality of the risen Christ. They were kept from seeing by their false hope. Folks, it's the same for us today. Their story is my story, your story. Our minds in our formative years have been informed by unreality. And when reality stares us in the face, we still don't recognize it. The great unreality for America is our wealth. Our wealth blinds us to the reality of Christ in our midst. We can read the scripture a million times, seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first, and all this will be given to you as well, and it'll be water off a duck's back. Because our wrong thinking blinds us to reality. Through our formative years, we learn to put our trust in what Jesus called mammon. That's wealth, any form of wealth. Stock market, real estate, 401k savings, pensions. Our trust in wealth blinds us to what Christ is saying to us. We can't see or hear him when it comes to our wrong thinking. And if he were walking with us physically today, now, we would be just like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We wouldn't recognize him. We see into the heart of Jesus in his response to the disciples' inability to see him. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. He was walking with them, talking with them, and they didn't recognize him. And look at his response. What an amazing response. What tenderness of heart. What gentleness of soul. What brilliance of mind he showed them, even when they didn't recognize him. Even then, he spoke God's word to them tenderly, with kindness and compassion. We fail to recognize Christ's presence with us. Excuse me. Over and over and over again. And he continues to show us grace over and over and over again until finally, as he's speaking his word to us, finally, we see. But it wasn't until he broke bread at their table that their eyes opened, they realized they were actually with the crucified and risen Christ. We can have those moments too. Those moments when our eyes open and we see reality and forsake the unreality that has claimed our heart. That's our story. Their story is our story. We walk with him and we talk with him, yet we don't recognize him when he's in our midst. That is, when it comes to our wrong expectations, our wrong thinking, we just don't see him. He teaches his word. He spoke to them on the road, his word, and they still didn't recognize him. And then suddenly the Spirit opened the eyes of their hearts, our hearts, and suddenly we know we've been in the presence of our crucified and risen Lord. Clear thinking. It all comes down to clear thinking. Thinking rightly about God, thinking rightly about the world around us. Thinking rightly about ourselves. Simply having life in proper perspective. Seeing the world through Jesus' eyes. Unbelief and false hope are grounded in unclear thinking. Faith and hope are grounded in clear thinking. Clear thinking is essential to life and essential to our walk with Christ. Clear thinking reveals reality. And reality and hope are forever linked. Faith and hope are forever linked. And faith and hope are forever linked to reality.
What is reality? In our world today, for people, it's whatever they feel. And the world goes along with that. If you feel it, then that's your truth. That's reality. But that's not biblical reality. Gravity is reality. Thirst being quenched with water is reality. Hunger being satisfied with food is reality. The birth of a child is reality. The death of a loved one is reality. Look about. The sun, the sky, the clouds, the trees, the grass, the flowers, all these objects of creation are reality. Created and sustained by the creator of the universe, the crucified and risen Christ himself, the very God of the universe. Folks, reality is what is real, not what we necessarily think or feel. For often we think unreality, and therefore we feel unreality. Jesus Christ is reality. Jesus Christ is the reality behind all reality. We can trust the reality of the world around us. It comes to us through our five senses. What we see, what we hear, what we touch, what we smell and taste. We take the world in, this very real world, through our five senses. We can trust what we experience with our five senses. The reality of Christ, however, comes to us through the Spirit and the Word, opening our hearts to God's faithfulness in Christ, who is our hope. The ancient Hebrews celebrated the creation and worshiped their creator, reality. Both were real. And they even used the reality of the creation, what was could be seen and touched, a rock, as a metaphor for what could not be seen and touched, God. They were so in touch with both. Centuries ago, the psalmist prayed, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him." They went on, "He alone is my rock and my salvation. I shall not be shaken." God alone is my rock. God alone is my rock. This is reality. From whom comes hope? The psalmist goes on, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Faith and hope, forever joined together with reality, our rock. And this brings us to our text in Peter. Through Jesus, you have come to trust in God. Through Jesus. Through Jesus, you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Your faith and hope are set on God. Not on the lottery, not on the wealth of this world, on God. Winning the lottery depends on chance, one in 292.2 million to be exact. Hope in Christ is a sure thing, for it is set on God, who is a rock. Folks, hope to the soul is what blood is to the body. We can't live without hope. That's why so many people invest so much in the lottery, even though they know for the most part they're going to lose. They'd rather have a false hope than no hope at all. We can't live without hope. We can't. Our souls wither without hope. The question is, in what or in whom do I hope? All the answers this world has to give are going to disappoint us at some point. There's only one answer that will not disappoint us ultimately. Peter wrote, through Christ, the crucified and risen Christ, through Christ, you've come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set not on the things of this world, but on God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.